Need more comedy in your life than just the funny 115? Check out CISO. It's comedy for comedy nerds. Get 2 months free of CISO with your paid subscription of just $3.99 a month. CISO.com. That's SEESO.com with our promo code RHAP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with some bonus coverage during this Survivor season. And today we're going to bring back a longtime friend of the podcast, somebody that we haven't talked to probably in about a year and a half. But we wanted to get back together because he has just started to release the third volume of the Funny 115, which is a fan favorite to many and is one of the founders of the Survivor Historians podcast, which is now entering the Micronesia season. Please welcome back to the show, Mario Lanza. Mario.
Hello. Oh, good to be here. Robasoo. It's been a long time.
Yes. Mario, very excited about the Funny 115 Volume 3, the third one, finally dropping. I feel like that there was a lot of talk whether or not that you were going to actually do it. You're a little bit like Larry David, where it's sort of like, oh, is there going to be more Curb? Nobody knows. But you finally decided to go through with it. And now here it is.
Yeah, I finally got guilted into it, basically, is the thing. The thing with these Funny 115s, when I start doing them, is there's so much work. Like, this is literally 2 years off my life that I'm shaving off. Mm-hmm. So, like, I hate committing to them because I know how much work it's going to be. But eventually so many seasons pass and so many people email me about them. And eventually what always wins me over is that I find out that survivors read the page and want to read entries about them.
Okay.
Like, I'd meet people like Shireen, and she's like, I love that page. Oh, I want to see a third one. Or I hear from people like that, like Dave Ball, who was waiting for a third one. So that eventually is what wins me over, because I like making people happy. If you want to see some entries, I'll do a new one. We'll see how it goes. So that's eventually what happened, despite my vehement argument that I would never do a third one, and the argument I am already formulating that I will never do a fourth one.
Okay. All right. So we'll talk about that. Also, of course, the Survivor Historians has just reached a milestone in fans versus favorites, Survivor Micronesia. And to me, I believe that that's sort of like the first modern season of Survivor. It's sort of like, I think that's the first of like where Survivor starts to look like what it looks like now, as opposed to classic Survivor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's kind of the tack we're taking in Micronesia, that it's not my favorite season. It's not Jay Fisher's favorite season, but I can very much appreciate what it brought to Survivor history. And we've made the argument that it's easily one of the two or three or four most important Survivor seasons. So yeah, it's definitely right there at the start of modern Survivor.
Okay, so a lot of stuff going on. So besides Survivor, anything big going on in your life these days?
I'm still trying to look for that new episode of Utopia. I can't find
it. It's coming back.
Good, the beekeeper. I'm waiting for the beekeeper. I want to see what happens.
It's coming back, I think. I'm waiting for the Utopia 115. You wouldn't be able to do it. You wouldn't be able to keep it to only 115. You'd have to go to like 215 for the 9 episodes of Utopia.
Well, people for years have said I should do a Apprentice 115.
Oh, that's dangerous. Don't go there. So let's talk about how you got to this with the 115. Actually, for people maybe who haven't heard you talk about this before, could you just sort of explain what the Funny 115 is and how you got started with the first one?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Okay, the Funny 115, people don't know this. This is kind of my little baby these days. It's originally just a countdown of the funniest moments on Survivor. And I did it, I originally started it many years ago. I don't know if you even remember this, Rob. It was for your old website, the Fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And I had been writing about Survivor for years, and I was kind of done with it. I wasn't doing anything more. And you suggested I do something, and maybe we could tie it into the Fishbowl. So I said, well, how about I do like a countdown of the funniest Survivor moments, because people love to talk about those on the message board over the years.
Yeah.
So I put together this thing. It was just in my MySpace blog at the time. I just started counting things down. Okay, the 100 funniest funny Survivor moments. And it wasn't anything big. I only had maybe like 100 readers at the time or something, because I wasn't really actively writing. And so that's what happened. And unfortunately, the fishbowl went down before I finished the product.
Oops. Sorry about that. They said it was too big to fail, Mario.
It's just like Utopia.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I finished the list and it was just sitting there in my MySpace blog.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't have a website or anything. So I just kind of threw it out there as a website. Funny 115. Originally, it was the 100 funniest moments. I couldn't narrow it down to 100 because you want to have Colby's hat on there. You can't cut Colby's hat. So that's the entry that everybody hates. That's why I always mention it. So, yeah. So I named it the Funny 115. And because it wasn't really on a website, I had to give it a distinct name, because if you just searched Funny 100, there's a billion hits for that on Google. So I did gave it 115. That's a distinct number. And so that was it. And it was very low key. It wasn't really, didn't get a lot of press. And it just kind of started getting word of mouth. Like, people said, hey, this is pretty funny. You should check this out. And so it just grew. And then it's really been all word of mouth since then, to the point that version 2, which I did 5 years ago, now has 1.2 million readers.
Mm-hmm.
And the new one has only been out for 2 months, and we've already passed 100,000 readers. I mean, this one's going to be astounding when I see the hits for this one when it's all done.
When you did the first one, what year was it? I know it's only seasons 1 through 11. So was it right after Guatemala you started, or was it a few years past Guatemala? Well, it couldn't have been that much past Guatemala, because the fishbowl wasn't around much longer after that.
Yeah, it was in the middle of Exile Island and then Cook Islands.
Okay. So right around 12 and 13, you went back and looked at the first 11. And then at what point did you agree to do the second one?
The reason I agreed to do the second one and the timeline, it was when all these podcasts were kind of starting. I know Rob has a podcast, was out there. The Tribe was out there. And it was eventually, I think, the guys at the Tribe that kind of convinced me to do a second one.
Yes.
And they helped me set up the domain. I didn't actually have a funny115.com domain at the time. It was just on my Averdata server. So they helped me set it up. They helped me publicize it. I'm like, oh, okay, this will be fun.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just because there was all of a sudden all this grassroots marketing to you, where you could market a product like this.
And you used to do like segments on the Tribe, right? That if I recall.
Yeah, that's with version 2. I went on, I did these special segments where we just picked 10 entries at random and I talked about them to kind of publicize what was coming.
Yeah.
And I haven't done really anything like that for the third one. The third one, I've been a little nervous about, just because there's so much, hype out there and people want it so bad. And I'm just not good with pressure and anxiety. That's one of my things over the years. So there's, 1.2 million people demanding I write these entries every 2 days. Like, it's a little, so I tried to kind of quietly start this one and not hype it as much as the other ones. I wanted to make sure it was good before I started talking about it.
Well, the interesting thing now about the third one is that now you live in an era where probably each one of these entries, the day it goes live, probably gets more attention than any other previous entry had gotten, because social media, and then there's a post on Reddit about it, and then the different Facebook groups. So each new one, when it drops, gets like its own individual launch day.
Yeah, it is. It's really like that. And in the old days, I would try to write, like on version 2, I would do an entry every day or every 2 days. And I really can't do that anymore. That's that involves staying up to super late hours and grabbing all these screen caps. And I'm getting older now. I'm 42. I can't do what I used to do when I was 25.
That's not the Gen X attitude.
Hey, I'm fine. When I was 25, I could stay up till 4 a.m. and then get up for work at 7. That's a little harder when you get to 40.
That's right.
So, yeah. So that's the issue that, it's this huge thing now. And unfortunately, I kind of make it worse by dragging it out so long. Like the last one, there was 2 weeks between entries. So I get all these emails, please post it, please post it. So that's the thing. You kind of get stuck in this trap now where you're trying to keep up with a schedule that's not all that realistic, as I'm sure you are more than aware of doing a daily podcast.
Yes. So it's just basically when it's ready, it's ready.
When it's ready, it's ready. And I will, once it's done, I'll sit on it for about half a day just to think about it before I post it and go over every joke and entry in my own little reference in my head to make sure I think it's perfect. So it's one of those things that I absolutely contribute to the delay on these, because I will not post it until it's ready.
Okay. All right. So currently out of the 115, we have 16 entries. We just cracked 100 recently.
Yes, just cracked 100. We're down to the double digits. So I can see the finish line in sight, only 99 entries away.
Only 99 entries away. All right, so let's just talk through a little bit about the seasons 20 through 30, because of course, or is it 21 through 30, right?
Yeah, it's it starts with Nicaragua.
And to me, you know, this is now like the era of where, you know, I'm podcasting about all of these things. So all of this stuff is like pretty fresh in my mind. So I'd love to know your process in terms of, so what do? You sit down and you just like back to back to back watch all of these things and just keep like a legal pad going of things that could make the list?
That's a very Gen X way of doing it. Yes, I don't type these. I write them by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a friend who will make me a bunch of DVDs just so I could watch them. I don't like watching stuff on the internet. So we just had DVDs and I sit there with my wife. My wife is my silent partner in this, who comes up with a lot of the jokes and stuff. And just the two of us watch these. My kids couldn't care less about Survivor, so they don't watch with us.
Yeah.
So it's just the two of us. Yeah, and we just marathon them over the course of a couple of months where we just watch the episodes. I'm taking notes. I have pages and pages and pages of notes, and I just reference stuff, and I try to draw arrows where I can tie entries together or references to other stuff. So yeah, it's months of research of me basically watching these seasons for the first time, because that's my thing, is I don't really pay attention to a season as it is airing. Not that much.
Maybe this is getting like too inside baseball, but so what are you writing on the legal pad? So for instance, like the entry you just posted at number 100 is Nayanka versus the leg with Kelly yes. Bruno. So like, what are you writing down on your legal pad when you're watching that play out in the pre-merge of Survivor Nicaragua?
Yeah, when I'm going through the episodes, I tend to write little quotes. Okay, here's a good quote, and I kind of circle it. And then any funny facial reaction from people. They do a lot of things where they zoom in on somebody. It's like a reaction to somebody, and I know I can use that down the road. But with Kelly and Nayanka, that was one I knew was going to be an entry. I mean, bar none, that was going to be... When someone has a fight with someone else's mechanical leg, you know that's going to be an entry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking for any scene where Nayanka's staring at Kelly, or she says something about Kelly, or Kelly looks befuddled, or when they do a zoom in on the leg or something like that. And anytime Nayanka references it, I just write it down, write the quote, write the scene, write the timestamp. So it's very detailed when this stuff happens.
Nayanka, I found when I had rewatched Nicaragua last summer that she is one of the funniest survivors, in my opinion. And I wonder maybe if she played now, and not necessarily like if she played as an all-star, but if she was on as a first time, do you think that she would be more popular or less popular because she ultimately quits?
I think she would be absolutely more popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's one of those. She's a lot like Abby. That's the comparison I can come up with. Everyone seems to love Abby. She's a great character. And Nayanka was really version one of Abby.
Mm-hmm.
And Nayanka's great at one of these things that I've argued over the years, that Survivor players have two jobs when they're out there. Their job is to win the game, but their job is also to become a distinct character that you want to see on TV. And Nayanka has been as good as just about anybody I've ever seen at becoming a distinct character.
Yeah, I wonder if there might be some Yas Queen Nayankas out there up until... And then I think that, you know, the quitting thing, you know, that's a deal breaker. But I really feel like, especially like if she did not quit and she just got voted out, I think she'd be a really popular survivor.
Yeah, and I happen to agree with that. It's the quit that really does it. Like, a great villain needs a great downfall. This is something I've preached for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Fairplay is the perfect one in Pearl Islands. Has a great arc, has a great run, and then he loses to Lil at the end. I mean, how humiliating is that? It's perfect for Fairplay. So Nayanka doesn't get that where she quits. That's the problem. I mean, she's a top-tier villain, I'd agree anyway. But without that quit, if she gets a downfall, I think it's inarguable she's a top-tier villain.
Well, it's fun to go back and have like sort of like a second look at some of these people, because somebody that you've also written about at 114 is Colton. And you compared him to like a great wrestling villain like Gorgeous George.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Colton got it. He got that. That's the point. He's kind of a mincing little villain. He talks down to people. Like he had a fantastic character. And yeah, he really never got his downfall either. It's kind of the same thing with Nayanka. And this is one of those things that I try to write about on the Funny 115. I try to get people to appreciate players as characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just characters on a TV show. That's really all they are. I know people get super close to the players through Twitter and Facebook and podcasts and stuff. But if you just take a step back and look at them as characters, Colton brings so much to that season in those episodes he's there in One World.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really want people to be able to appreciate, even if you don't like the guy, appreciate what he brings to the show.
Is that something that like needs to be imparted on these people like a Nayanka or like a Colton, that, you know, it doesn't matter how much character you have or what a personality you are, but you need to have that downfall one way or another. Like even if they got blindsided or just got voted off in like the most mundane, like boring vote, but just at least there's an end to both of those stories and we can sort of wrap our heads around that.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree that's important, but at the same time, I don't know if it's necessary to tell them that because I mean, they are people with free will and they're doing what they want to do. So it's like, you don't want to make it like into a situation where it's like dance puppets dance. Like you guys have to do what we want for our amusement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. Like Colton, the second time around in Blood versus Water, you know, if things aren't going his way, so he quits, which I would admit, I would point out is very gorgeous, George. That's something that good pro wrestling villains do. If they're going to lose, they just quit or get disqualified on their own terms. That's why I kind of compared him to Gorgeous George.
Yeah.
Like you don't see great pro wrestling villains get pinned cleanly all that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd argue it actually fits his character quite well, but I would be very wary about telling people they need to do what the audience wants them to do.
So in the case of you have 115 is your limit on this, but how many moments do you come away from on the legal pad? Is it like, do you have 200 and you have to get it down to 115 or do you end up with like 80 and it's like, oh, let me go back and take a look for, you know, to find more?
Yeah, it's with version 2, I ended up with about 100 and I kind of had to add 15 of them because I'm like, well, I got to pad this out a little bit. With version 3, I was a little more liberal with the stuff that I thought would make a good entry. Just and so I wanted to have more and cut down to less as opposed to less and pad more. So I ended up with about 170 or so, 170, 180.
Yeah.
Okay. But a lot of them are very minor moments, like just some random quote. I'm like, well, I could probably do an entry about that if I have to. So again, I was very liberal and then cutting it down from 180 to 130 sucks. And then the 130 to 115, that one hurts because that's what I'm losing. Yeah, that's what I'm losing some big stuff.
Now, I know on the page you have the like almost like Jeopardy tiles of like what the season is going to be for each moment, which I actually really like. What worked out to be the funniest season out of 21 through 30?
This is not going to be a popular answer. Are you ready for this one?
I am not ready.
It's Worlds Apart and it's not even close.
Wow.
Worlds Apart is so cartoony.
Yeah.
There's so many goofy little things going on. There's so many distinct characters. There's so many bizarre little scenes. It's absolutely perfect for what I'm trying to do with writing about Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not the most popular season. It's got some despicable villains. It's kind of predictable. It's got, you know, the obvious winner that everyone could see coming. But from my point of view, there's no season out of this group that's even close. The only one that's even in the same ballpark is maybe South Pacific.
Well, yeah. I know you just posted an entry about Rodney and Rodney-isms. I was really impressed that you had the top 25 Rodney-isms during Worlds Apart. I mean, he really was a great character in that season. And he's sort of gotten already, you know, even though it's only been like a year and a half since that season, a little bit forgotten, I feel like, in terms of somebody to bring back on the show.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. One of my favorites. I'm the only thing I feel bad about with that Rodney-isms entry is that it's so low. It probably should have been a lot higher because the minute I wrote it and posted it, all these Rodney fans come crawling out of the woodwork. Oh, I love Rodney. This should have been a top 50 entry. Oh, this is amazing. So like there's a lot of closet Rodney fans out there.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite Rodney-isms?
The chicken palm and tuna fish. That's my favorite. Just right off the top of my head.
Yeah. What was that? He said that me and Mike aren't getting along. Was that what it was about?
It's he and Lindsay, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. We get along like chicken palm and tuna fish. It just don't taste good.
Yeah. I'm just scrolling through it. I forgot when he said that he's like the Luke Longley bro.
Yes, Luke Longley. References the most obscure NBA player to ever show up in a Survivor episode.
Yeah, he was putting his De Niro on, the Steakums. Yeah, he really was a character in that season.
The Steakums one is great because I had never heard of Steakums before. I thought they were like bacon bits. Mm-hmm. I thought they were like things I had to look them up. I didn't realize they were frozen Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah. I would imagine there's probably a lot of Dan Foley also.
Oh yeah, Dan. We just haven't got to Dan. Dan will be a major, major character on the Funny 115 to the point that I've already asked a couple of Dan's friends. How do you think Dan's going to take this?
Oh, he's going to love it.
I hope so. I try to be lighthearted. I really try not to be mean spirited for the most part. And I really hope to get people at the end of the day to appreciate how ridiculous Dan's character was on Survivor and what the editors did with him.
Mm-hmm. I really feel like he is in the camp of any attention is good attention.
Yeah. And I hope so. I hope to see him as an ally down the road. And that's not just me. You know, you always get into the danger with Worlds Apart, having to take sides between Shireen fans and Dan and Ren Will. But I really hope to get them all in my camp at the end of the day. That's my thing. I don't like making enemies. So I hope they can all appreciate all the stuff I write about Worlds Apart on some level.
There's a lot of Dan fans out there that are like that's like a whole group that has a movement.
I'm sure there are somewhere. Yeah.
Wow.
The grassroots. Yeah, he's mobilizing.
It's mobilizing. So did you have like one moment in your mind in terms of like what it was going to be as the number one, or was that something that sort of like develops organically?
This one is different than the first two. The first Funny 115, I knew without even starting it was going to be Dead Grandma.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that can top that. You can't put that as a number two entry because it's too epic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like the number one funniest moment I had was Tom and Ethan and the ham, where he won't eat the ham. He's Jewish, which is a great moment, but it's nowhere epic enough for number one. So that was obvious. The second one was a little tougher. The second one, I really wanted to do Jason and Eliza and the stick because that's really the funniest moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nowhere near as epic as Coach in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, well, I have to put Coach. And everyone knew Coach was going to be number one. They were dreading it because Coach was not all that popular at the time.
Sure.
So I used to get a lot of emails. Don't you dare put Coach at number one. Don't you dare. Because he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So the first two, it was fairly obvious to me. The third one is not obvious. And that's kind of one of the reasons I dragged my feet on starting this one. Because I know the number one is going to be one of about six entries. And to this day, I don't know which one it's going to be yet. It's kind of going to be based on how people receive the other entries leading up there.
So that's interesting to me. So that you have the top 10 that you're sort of like jockeying around, like where they're going to go. But everything else you've sort of like committed from 115 to 11. It's going to be from what season, right?
It is, but it's not. I don't know if people don't pay attention how much I moved that little Jeopardy board around.
Oh,
I switch stuff up a lot. Like if I've done a bunch of big, long character entries where it's like dozens of pages and tons of pictures, and all of a sudden the next one's supposed to be another character entry, and I'm like, I don't feel like doing that one right now. I'll move that one up a couple spaces. So it's very fluid. It's very, it changes by the moment.
People and need to screenshot it.
Yeah, I know. There's a conspiracy. It changes all the time.
Wow, that's amazing.
There's already been two entries where I started an entry and I'm like, this doesn't work. So I just scrapped it and threw something else in there that was one of my backup choices. In fact, the one that I just had before that, Fill Up Shouting Gibberish without Kunta Kinte.
Yes.
That was a backup entry because the one I was originally planning just wasn't working. I'm like, this doesn't have enough to support an entry.
Yeah, Philip, I feel like, is going to be another polarizing character in volume 3, because I feel like that there is a lot of Philip fatigue and people not thinking Philip is funny.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's the thing with this group of seasons. There's a lot of fatigue on a bunch of characters.
Yeah.
So I already know Dan entries are going to get pushed back. I know Philip entries are going to get pushed back. I know anything about Colton. Cochran, for some reason, people seem to hate Cochran, but there's going to be a lot of Cochran pushback. So it's an odd, you have a very angry fan base right now. It's kind of interesting in that way.
Yeah. I did like the Cochran entry that you had about Cochran's dad showing up. I mean, that's pretty hilarious where Cochran's dad comes and Cochran is like incredulous about who does his dad think he is now, making burgers and wearing sunglasses.
We don't do that, Dad. His dad's like a neurosurgeon, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his exact job is.
He's a very respected neurosurgeon, similar to Dr. Sean, I would believe, from Dr. Sean Kenneth.
Sure, sure.
So he's basically Cochran's dad, Sean, if you think about it.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I look for little stuff like that, little awkward moments where the guy's mom and dad come out to Survivor and they embarrass him. I mean, that's, even if you hate Cochran, you have to think that's a funny concept for an entry.
Yeah, it was very funny. Also, that you have a Tyson entry about how people felt like Tyson was different in the season that he won.
Yeah, and I will admit, I even thought that too. When I first sat down to do this list, I wasn't going to have a Tyson character entry. I'm like, yeah, he wasn't good enough. He was kind of boring. He was nowhere near what we remember from the glory days of Tyson. But when you dig through, there's a lot of good Tyson stuff in there, which I was glad to be able to highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that that's more of a factor of the edit where they say, okay, well, Tyson is going to ultimately win this season, so let's not show him as much? Or it was just sort of like people, he was with people that sort of got him more that third time around?
It's kind of a combination of all that. I've talked to some Survivor editors lately that work on the show, and they have told me that, you know, they've made a very deliberate change to the way they portray Survivor nowadays because fans and the viewers don't like if you don't show the winner's story. Mm-hmm. So like they try so hard to sell the winner. This is why the winner won and why it was legitimate, because they've seen what happens when you don't do that. So Tyson's story, they went out of their way to show him being strategic, showing being a good player, being diplomatic. And when you do that, it kind of comes at the expense of some of the character scenes where he's just being a dick to people. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of stuff that it's really just a function of the way they edit the show now, I think. I think he fell victim to that a little bit.
All right. I'm wondering if there's something that you might be able to tell me in terms of the funny 115. Like, there's so many things that you have come up with that sort of just become part of like the Survivor zeitgeist and the way people talk about Survivor, and people maybe don't even realize that started with you. Can you think of anything that's like that from the first couple of funny 115s?
Oh, gosh. One thing that I don't know was all that widely joked about was Deb and the rock shelter. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I get flack for this. When I write about a character or a scene, it inevitably gets a boost and people start talking about it. And I've been accused of that before. Like, if I like somebody, then all of a sudden everyone's supposed to like him. Mm-hmm. And I can already see that's kind of happened with Cochran and Dan and all them on this one. So I get in trouble when I start saying stuff like I kind of influence the fan base in a way. But Deb and the rock shelter is one. The stuff with Amber saying, oh, my God, in Australia, which admittedly a lot of people made fun of that at the time. But to this day, I've heard people ask me if I started that. If like, were you the first person to make fun of Amber saying, oh, my God? So even though I didn't, I just kind of get credit for it.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. And then like I had CGI Brett in the last season where I just would randomly insert Brett into entries, which I should point out was never an actual entry. That was just part of a Russell entry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was never its own entry. But with version 3, I'm trying to do that more. I'm trying to take little obscure stuff and kind of make it into a thing.
Yeah.
Just because I'm just more creative at this point in my life. It's not as interesting just to write about an entry. I think it's more fun to take something kind of minimal and change it around. Like the last entry with Nyanka is a perfect example. Like, clearly Nyanka was a horrible villain and she was mean to Kelly. And I'm like, what if I just wrote an entry that was completely opposite, where Nyanka's the misunderstood good guy and legs are evil. Mm-hmm. So it's just little stuff like that. I just like to be a little more creative on this third one.
Yeah. You know, looking at some of these things, and you do such a good job with like the pictures and the text. A lot of times that there's a picture at the top of the entry that doesn't necessarily match what the entry is. Yeah, like, is there some sort of like a Da Vinci code that we need to crack?
Oh, you don't know what I'm doing there? If you look at entry 115, this is only on the third version. This is something different I wanted to do. The very first entry starts with Candace saying, F you, Brad Culpepper, just like in Blood versus Water.
Yes.
And so I said, this is going to be a thing on version 3. It's like the national anthem or the God Bless America. We're going to start every entry with the traditional cursing out of Brad Culpepper.
Okay. That's it. I did read the first entry, but I did not pay that close attention to what was at the top of it. I went right into the immunity chicken.
Yeah, the immunity chicken is good. But yeah, if you pay attention, that's what I'm doing. There's a cursing out of Brad Culpepper at the start of every entry. And it's only because and a lot of people misinterpret that as I hate Brad Culpepper. I'm like, I love Brad Culpepper. That was one of my favorite subplots of Blood versus Water. So that's me just trying to make it into a thing. I just want to get people to appreciate the Brad Culpepper stuff. So I have some super creative ones lined up. I've only used 16. I have like 80 more of those Brad Culpepper pictures saved up. There's some fantastic ones coming up.
Right. Yeah. There's like Morse code and, really, really threw me off. Do you have any other favorite that we haven't talked about from this first 15 from Funny 115 Volume 3?
I am just going down my list here. Yeah. Number 115, we had the immunity chicken, which is an incredibly stupid entry. And that was me. I have a habit.
Were you trolling the audience with that one?
I kind of do sometimes. I have to admit that. I really do, because I know I have a habit of people hating the first entry. 115 always gets a lot of flack. So I'm like, I'll just do something so stupid for 115. Like, I think it's funny that they had the immunity chicken. It probably doesn't warrant an entry, but that was really just an excuse for me to throw something distinct in there that would start this list off with a bang. As you know, that one's kind of dirty. It does a little turn halfway through where I start using a different word. And that's, I like to call jokes like that. I've used this phrase before, my Pearl Harbor jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a pro wrestling term where someone comes in with a chair and, oh, he got the Pearl Harbor job. He didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. So I love Pearl Harbor jokes where you don't see where the joke is going to go. All of a sudden I just flip on you.
Yes.
So that was that one. It's a good entry. I just wanted to start off the list with a bang and wanted people to know I wasn't taking any prisoners this time.
That's right. Well, I think that's one of the things that is always really fun about what you do is that you don't really care if the audience is going to get mad.
I would like them to have a reaction in one way. And this is, right. And I've said this before, my comedy heroes, I mean, sure you'll relate to this in some way. Andy Kaufman and Norm Macdonald. Those are my two.
Yeah.
And Andy Kaufman was famous for that. He didn't care what you thought. He just wanted a reaction. You could love him. You could hate him. It was all the same to him. All he didn't want you to do is be bored. He wanted you, like, angry was just as good as you loving him. So I have that in a sense. I like that little sense of mischief. But the Norm Macdonald one, that's where you're just irreverent. That's where just, I'm just going to go for this joke and I don't care what your reaction is. Like, I know it's funny and I know better than you. So you better laugh at this or you're wrong. And that's just, I mean, that's not like a sense of just being a jerk, but that's just how Norm approaches comedy.
Yeah.
I know this is funny, so I'm just going to go with it.
So could you explain to me entry 106 about Missy messes with the wrong kid? So what happened with Missy and Baylor are always, two of my favorites to talk about.
Okay. Let's talk about that. This might be my favorite entry of the ones I've done so far. And this is the one I was the most worried about because this one is all over the place. Yeah. This is the one with the Make-A-Wish kid where Jeff Probst has this very awkward segment where he brings on a Make-A-Wish kid and they talk about how he worked on Survivor and he designed a challenge. And yes. It was this great heartwarming moment. And it's really nice. I appreciate the show does stuff like that. But this was the challenge that injured Missy.
Mm-hmm.
And Missy was like the least popular player among the players. So I decided to make it as part of the trend where Make-A-Wish kids are constantly injuring survivors with their horribly planned out challenges. And I had to do all this research on this one. I'm like, is this one offensive or is this one funny? Because I had to make sure, like, is this poor Make-A-Wish kid, like, yeah, I hope he, like, is healthy and he's fine. And it turned out he's fine. He didn't have a life-threatening condition. So I'm like, well, that's fair game. But I didn't want to use the kid's face in any of the entries. Like, I feel like, well, his parents might stumble upon that and that would then they make them mad. So I just made it a game of randomly putting survivors' faces over his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made no sense whatsoever, but I just thought it would be fun to randomly, like, I had told Shireen or PG a couple months ago, because I know she's a reader. She's like, I love the funny 115. And I'm like, well, I'll get you in an entry someday. I just don't know how. And so I randomly put her face over the kid, and I've successfully fulfilled my contract at PG now.
Yeah.
That's a very creative entry where I just had a bunch of friends of mine. We were coming up with randomly sadistic challenges that kids could design that would injure survivors, which I was laughing so hard when I was writing some of those.
Yeah, that's funny. That I remember that well, that reward challenge. And they made such a big deal about, like, oh, one of our kids fans designed this. And they did talk to him in the finale. But yeah, it did happen to be where Missy ends up like twisting her ankle and then she's on crutches the rest of the season. Could you talk a little bit about how you end up getting all of the, like, the photos and the captions? Because there's a lot of work that goes into all of these entries. And, you know, I know you talk about how, you know, you don't really want to get involved with, like, the tech of all this. So how do you get, like, the exact frames of these screenshots and stuff like that?
All right. I have a very complicated method for doing this. What happens is I put the DVD in my DVD player and I play it on Power DVD and I frame step it step by step to get the exact picture I want. And it takes endless amount of hours.
I mean, that seems like each entry must take hours and hours to get, like, all of these pictures. I mean, sometimes there's, like, you know, 50 pictures in an entry.
Oh, 50 is underestimating. Yeah. I have ones that over 100. Yeah, it's the good news is when I'm writing down the stuff for the entries in my notes, I write down time codes. So I know exactly where all the stuff is. So it's not like I have to go through every minute of every episode. I know specifically which scenes I'm looking for, and I just have to frame step through them looking for the exact shots. Like it's one of those things. You've seen the movie Election with Reese Witherspoon,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they do the freeze frames of people who are talking mid sentence, and it makes them look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a trick that I like to do. It's kind of a cheap shot. I try not to do that too much, but that's the way you can get those great mid sentence screenshots. So yeah, if anybody's ever looking for funny pictures on Survivor, just go to my Funny 115 because I've already done the work for you for the most part for any picture you could ever want.
Also, that we talked about the season that's the funniest out of 21 to 30. What's the least funny season in your mind from 21 to 30?
One World is terrible.
See, I would feel like that there's a lot of comedy in One World because it's so terrible, because you have all these other like kooky characters and Tarzan. So I feel like that there's a lot of stuff there that's funny.
Yeah, it's, you'd think it would be, but it's like the second half of the season is pretty much a waste. There's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. It's all Tarzan. It's Kim just like completely blowing everybody away and Tarzan being kooky.
Yeah. And I have nothing but respect for Kim as a Survivor player, but as a funny 115 character, she offers me nothing.
Yes.
So it's one of those things like, yeah, it's not a bad season when Colton's there. Mm-hmm. But then the minute Colton leaves, it goes downhill. And you think Kat could kind of carry the load, but Kat isn't as good as you think she'd be. Like, mm-hmm. I have a couple Kat entries, but they're not super high or anything.
Yeah.
And then it's really Kat and Tarzan, and there's really nothing else going on there. That's the problem.
So I know you go and you look at all these things from the character point of view and looking for comedy. Are there ever things that happen in terms of the game that you find interesting or that you ever want to write about?
Well, I will say this, in all fairness of these seasons, 21 through 30, I'm not always the biggest fan of them, but what they are good at is when I can write history entries, when things are funny from a Survivor historical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff like when Mike Scoopin talks about Abby going off, and every time she goes off, there's trumpets that blare and angels that sing because she's such an attention whore. Mm-hmm. And then that's the exact same thing that Varner said about Scoopin back in season two. So that's the kind of stuff that really I really can give out of these seasons, like things that happen in the game that are callbacks to other seasons, or for something from a historical perspective, how it's interesting, stuff like that. Sometimes idol plays, obviously, are funny that are different from older seasons, or even like a callback to an older season. So there is stuff like that that I do find interesting.
But in terms of like the game and who's going to ultimately win and like a strategic move that was played, like you're just not interested.
Not really, because I don't think it really adds to the characters that much.
But did it start that way for you, or you never cared about that?
I did care about that. It's just that I don't take Survivor all that seriously anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had a falling out with the show somewhere between 11 and 15, somewhere in there. I'm like, you know, I've seen this before. I don't really need to see it again. It's all kind of repetitive and all these twists are dumb. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of started appreciating it from the character perspective after that. And Coach really brought me back, as anyone can tell, I'm a big Coach fan.
Yes.
So I try to appreciate the game, but it really is, after watching 30 seasons of it, like, I've seen all this before.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what you've discovered in Fans versus Favorites upon I guess this would be a third viewing.
Yeah, this is Fans versus Favorites is almost universally considered a top 10 season, if not a top 3 season. Everyone seems to love this one. And it's one of those that wasn't all that popular at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the thing we're doing with
Why was it unpopular at the time?
Because it was a failed All-Star season. You may not have been watching the show during that era.
No, I wasn't super active in the community or anything like that, but I did watch that season just because of that. I knew Fair Play and I knew, a couple other people like Eliza, but mostly, you know, that Johnny Fairplay for years was talking about, when I go back on Survivor, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And, you know, it really came on the heels of, like, we were all at this party the night that Danny Bonaducci powerbombed him on the stage at this thing. And, you know, I just remember him like leaving to go and do this at that time. So, you know, we got invested in it sort of like, OK, I guess this is good. Let's see what happens when Fair Play goes back. But I stuck with it.
Yeah, it's for me personally, people are usually aware of how much I hate All Stars. And a lot of that is I just don't think it's a good product. And I just saw what it did to a lot of people. I mean, including you, I knew how much that just was devastating for you and stuff. So it's like, I just don't like All Stars as a product. And I didn't like that they were doing a second All Stars.
Mm hmm.
So I remember at the time thinking this was a horrible idea the first time. Why would they do it again? And that's the thing we bring up on Historians, is that this was really All Stars 2, but they really couldn't get the cast that they wanted. So at the last minute, they, you know, got at the line of scrimmage, called an audible and said, let's do half All Stars against half fans. So it was really thrown together. And that's the kind of thing we're pointing out in the show, is that even though it's legendary now with these big legendary characters like Amanda, Parvati, they weren't really legendary at the time. They were just kind of thrown in there because it didn't really work out as an All-Star season. So
what did they want to do?
What did they want it with the producers?
Yes.
I think they wanted to do a full All-Star season, All-Stars 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first one was 8, and this was 16 now.
Yeah, exactly. 8, 16, 24. You want to do an All-Stars every 8, probably. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't think they could get all the characters they wanted. I don't think Tom Westman was available. I'm trying to think of some other ones. But I know they asked a bunch of people that couldn't do it or it just didn't work. And Survivor didn't really do a good job of producing All-Stars during that era. And one example we brought up on Historians is Stephanie. Stephanie, arguably maybe the most popular female Survivor ever. They bring her back in Guatemala and she completely tanks and becomes a villain. And like, well, so much for that. We had this great All-Star character. Now we can't use her again because now she's terrible. So it's like they just were not good at producing All-Stars during that era. So it just didn't work out. So that's what we try to be very fair on Historians to point out what Micronesia is now was not what Micronesia was at the time.
And then so in terms of the Funny 115 Volume 2, was there already like when you do a season? And I guess this would be all the seasons for now for Survivor Historians. But so how much of like the Funny 115 is sort of like an outline for you where it's like, okay, well, now we're coming up to this. And as I've talked about in the Funny 115, do you really do like a deep dive into something you already covered on the 115?
Yeah, I do that. And people always give me crap about it. Like, oh, Mario always has to talk about the 115 on Historians. He's so self-centered.
Why not? Like, why not?
I know. I already wrote about this. That's the thing. I've already talked about this.
Yeah.
So that's one of the criticisms I get that I don't think is particularly fair, but
no, that's again, not fair because I'm listening to a podcast. I don't want to hear like, well, if you want to know more about this, you can go to my website and read the blog I wrote about this a couple of years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That sucks. But I do know there's people that listen to Historians who have no idea what the Funny 115 is. So perhaps I'm a little, I don't know what the word is, where I'm just assuming they already know it. But yeah, that's the thing. I've already written about these things and given my opinion so many times over the years that sometimes I just kind of forget that people haven't read all my stuff.
And then in terms of now getting further and further out with the Historians, have you said, is there a point where you say like that you don't want to talk about seasons after a certain point?
I have said that many times.
Yes, but it's just the goalpost keeps moving.
That's the problem. I'm a very skittish rabbit. I'm very easy to spook. I'm like, this is so much work and I don't really want to talk about, Cook Islands. What the hell? But that's the thing. Like people love Historians. People just love these episodes. I hear so many, you know, we get feedback, obviously nowhere near what you do, but stuff like, you know, I was stuck on a 6-hour plane ride and your Historians podcast was 3 hours. It made the time go so fast. Or I have to drive every day to work. I'm on a train. Yeah. And we need something to listen to. So like I have great respect for people that need that kind of thing in their life. Like if we're doing a service and people love our product, I want to keep putting it out. So yeah, I've wanted to quit several times and now I just don't think I can because now we're so ingrained. People kind of depend on us and like we have coach looking right down the road and we get to talk about him.
Yeah, really. I think the next point where it's really going to be sort of like a make or break is going to be. So, you know, you got Token Sheens, you got all fun to talk about. The thing that's going to be like really be the test is going to be, can you get through the Nicaragua to One World slog?
Well, you know, you would think that. But the other thing is there's so many things to talk about with Redemption Island just because it's different. And there's so much involving Legacy and Boston Rob. And was it stacked for Boston Rob or did Probst's Ultimate Dream season? So admittedly, it's not a great TV product, but it is kind of fascinating to talk about. I'm actually looking forward to One World. Yeah, Redemption Island.
You guys can.
I'm not looking forward about One World.
Yeah, you got Coach, even though it's the least wacky Coach also at, you know, South Pacific.
Hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of good Coach stuff on the Funny 115 from South Pacific. So
okay,
let's not write off South Pacific just yet.
All right. That's great. All right. So Mario, everybody knows you could check out all your stuff at funny115.com. And of course, that's where you can get the Survivor Historians podcast. Has there been anything this season that you think potentially could be fodder for a potential Funny 115 Volume 4?
Let's see. I'm not always the best person to ask. I don't always pay that close of attention. But just off the top of my head, David being scared of everything like Suri is always good for an entry.
Mm-hmm.
And someone pointed out, this is hilarious. Someone pointed, this is exactly what the Funny 115 is for, is that, you know, on a season where they joke about millennials and safe spaces and safe zones and stuff. We literally had a scene where there was a hurricane and everyone had to be evacuated to a safe zone.
That's funny. I feel like also there's a lot of mileage to get out of Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor's good. I like Taylor. Figgy was okay. I like Zeke. Who else? Michaela had some great quotes. There's some good stuff in there. Again, I can't fairly judge the season as it's airing because all I'm doing is paying attention to the seasons I'm writing about at the moment.
Okay. Mara, anything else you want to talk about? Actually, you know, can I ask you about that? I hadn't seen this. You did the Saturday Night Live Funny 115.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about how much work that was in comparison to the Survivor 115?
Yeah, it's for those of you who aren't aware, before I did Funny 115.3, I did an SNL Saturday Night Live Funny 115, which is basically my favorite 115 sketches between 2000 and 2015. So there's 15 years worth of stuff in there. And that one was a lot easier than the SNL or than the Survivor one, just because I can do that one off the top of my head. I know every one of those sketches inside out. SNL is like my favorite show. Mm-hmm. So like, I just kind of went down a list of every episode. There's a website called SNL Transcripts, which has every sketch from every episode. I just kind of went down and made sure I remembered every good one. And then I basically just wrote little summaries of them off the top of my head. They're nowhere near as long as the Survivor one. But there was a lot of little stuff I wanted to highlight in there that people might not have realized, like Tim Robinson. I'm a big Tim Robinson fan. Mm-hmm. Some of the monologues I thought were really good, like Anne Hathaway one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that one didn't take as much work. I just kind of did that one over New Year's Eve last year. I remember that I was kind of sitting there on my laptop just throwing it all together. And there's not very many pictures. I don't write that much. I tried to link to the sketch if possible. And then the problem is Yahoo Screen was the website where I linked every sketch. That website folded, so most of the links don't work at the moment.
Yeah.
So I have to go back and fix the links. But yeah, that was a fun project, and I'm very passionate about getting people to appreciate things that don't get appreciated enough. And SNL is really the top of that list. That's the show that gets so much crap over the years. Everyone says it sucks. Everyone says, oh, it hasn't been funny since, you know, my favorite cast member left. But that's one of the shows I have appreciated consistently since I was about 8 years old.
No, this is really fun. I need to scroll through this at some point when I'm not hosting a podcast, because I really am interested to see how the SNL Funny 115 ultimately went.
Yeah, that was fun. It was tough picking a number one for that one, because you go through 2000 through 2015, and the big thing there are the digital shorts with Andy Samberg. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things completely took over the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I could have done my top 10 just all digital shorts. I tried to mix it up a little bit.
But the thing to me that's always so impressive about what you do is that you have such a great memory and such a great recall of all of these things. Like there's so many things. My entire life to me is just like a blur. I can barely remember anything that happened. You know, even with like talking about Survivor, you know, I could sort of like, you know, cram for like watch a season and then I could talk about it at length. But then, it quickly all just goes away. And so I bet I'm just very impressed that I feel like that you have all of this stuff just very much like very top of mind.
It's hilarious because, you know, when I was a kid, I was in like, you know, as many kids are, I was in like the gifted classes. You test well and you get into these accelerated classes. But I was never a great student. Mm-hmm. Like I never stood out in class. I get C's and stuff, even in middle school. In high school, it was a little easier, so I was able to skate by. But like, the reason you get into these gifted programs is because you're good at something. Mm-hmm. And I could never figure out what I was good at. That was the thing. I wasn't the greatest student. I was good at spelling, but I wasn't good at tests. But it's this recall thing that I didn't realize this until I got older, that I never forget anything. Mm-hmm. I just have like this real Rain Man gift. And it's the thing. I'm not good at a lot of stuff. If people meet me in person, I'm not particularly good at talking to them. I'm not comfortable in public. I might be a little autistic. I've always suspected that, but I just don't forget things, especially if they're important to me, and things that make me laugh, things that I think are interesting on TV have always been important to me. Cause I'm like, the kid in the movie, The Cable Guy, that just grows up watching TV and this is my world. And so yeah. It's all, these are my friends. So I never forget stuff that's important to me. And so I can recall the slightest little SNL sketch I saw back in 1985, right down to the last detail, as if I just watched it. It's just, that's the one thing I'm good at. It's funny that the internet came around, and the internet was perfect for a person like me, because I could just write about this stuff that's always floating around in my head anyway, and then people appreciate it. So it's, I'm not sure what I would have done without the internet, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that it was invented.
Yeah, just for me. Exactly. Thank you, Al Gore.
Thank you, Al Gore, for doing that. Much appreciated. All right. Well, check it out. TheFunny115.com. New entries will be up when they're ready, right?
Yes. Anywhere between every 3 days to every three weeks, there will be a new entry.
And do you post them on Reddit, or people that are just like excited that they're there post them on Reddit?
Other people post them on Reddit. I try not to hype my own stuff.
Yeah.
So other people do that, and I'll go in there. I respond to any feedback. If it's, even if it's negative, usually they'll have a good point. They're like, oh yeah, that's a good point. And it's a very fluid process where I interact with the fans and the readers a lot. And I change entries basically based on feedback sometimes.
Oh, I had no idea that you do that.
Oh yeah. People will say, oh, here's a great quote about this entry. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. I'll add that as a PS later tonight. Thank you. So I do that all the time.
You don't sort of kowtow to criticism, though.
No, it's impossible to guilt me or bully me into doing anything. It's like, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and I just make it up as I go along. And again, that's my Norm Macdonald side. Yes. I'm just going to write what I'm going to write, and I hope you guys like it, because that's how it's going to be.
Does Russell Hance crack the Funny 115 Volume 3 with his short trip to Redemption Island?
No, and the reason for that is because I feel like I wrote about him enough in version 2, and I was a little mean about him, and I don't like being mean, but it was kind of personal.
Yeah.
We had issues outside the show.
I recall. Yeah. When he called you out.
Yes, exactly, which is not a good thing to do. Don't ever piss off a writer.
No, not a good move.
Yeah, so I'm trying to go as and without mentioning him on the Funny 115 version 3. I've already mentioned him once. I had a little picture of Abby that I compared to Russell, where they both had crazy eyes. But That's the one time I think I will crack. He will not be on here with Redemption Island.
But I do think that from a historical perspective, when we go back and take a look, you know, there was a point, and I think that maybe some recent Survivor fans may not know this, but people talked about Russell Hance, where he's a great player. He's the best player maybe there ever has been. And I think that you were the first person to sort of articulate that, no, he is not a good player and he can never win the game. And that you sort of, you know, articulated that really well. And then he came out and lashed out at you.
He did. He had lashed out before the Funny 115. Yeah, I was just writing some stuff. People had asked me, what do you think
during Heroes versus Villains, right?
Yeah, people would just ask me, what do you think about Russell? I'm like, well, he's a 38-day player. He does well, but he's not going to win. And then people got really mad about that. And what happened was I had a article I had published many years ago called The Psychology of a Survivor Jury, basically that a-holes can't win Survivor. That's basically, Survivor has never changed. It's just a popularity contest. Like if they don't like you, you're not going to win. So people started posting that. They started linking to that and sending it to Russell.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything that he was even written about him. It was just had my name on it and it was about juries. So he was the one that called me out and we had a big issue. It was on Stephen Fishbach's Facebook page at one point. There was some thread. Yeah, Stephen was the one who brought us together. He was a uniter.
Yes.
So I'm bagging on Russell. Or I'm not bagging on him, but I'm saying, you know, if you get to the end and don't get any jury votes, you're not a good player. Which I didn't realize also applied to Steven. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so it just was a real ugly thing. And Russell told people basically to shut down my page and to shut me up and teach this guy. Like he summoned his army to basically drown me out, which again, don't do that. He didn't realize I'd been around longer than he had. So yeah, so the Funny 115 I saved up and that was just me. My little revenge. But yeah, that was a little mean even for me. So I just don't want to do that again on the third one.
Do you remember, was that during Heroes versus Villains or was that post Heroes versus Villains?
I believe it was post Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, because it seems weird that you would have that take before he had lost that season and not, not won. Just interesting because I think that people were really sort of like after Samoa, people were like, you know, there were so many Russell got screwed fans. And then people were sort of like, wait, hold on. Why didn't he win again? And they sort of eventually came around to probably the more commonly held view now that his game is flawed.
Yeah. And I liked Russell in Samoa. I was a fan of his. I'm like, yeah, he's cool. He's a good villain. He's not supposed to win. And that was so it was interesting. And I kind of got lured into it because I'm a big Sandra fan.
Yes.
And if you love Sandra, then you have to, you know, they weigh you in. Oh, well, where's your stance on Sandra versus Russell? I'm like, well, I love Sandra. And of course she won because she's better than Russell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just got drawn into that. I didn't want to be in a fight.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. But and any little thing I could do to help get people to see that Russell wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, I'm happy. But I can't take full credit because there's other people that were doing it, too. But I will admit my funny 115 was kind of a mic drop.
Okay. All right. Well, Funny115.com is where you can check that all out. Of course, Mario is on Twitter at Mario J. Lanza. And what else, Mario?
I'm very excited you can pronounce my name now.
Yes, yes. I'm trying very, very consciously. I in my head, I'm sort of, is it Lanza or Lanza? And I feel like I've cracked Mario, and now that's the where I have to do sort of a double take.
People in my family don't even know how to pronounce my last name. I say Lanza, but most Lanza. Of them say Lanza. Yeah, okay. I try to de-ethnicize my name.
Okay.
So well, I go Mario Lanza, which is the least Italian way of saying it.
All right. Well, check that all out. Have you, are you close to putting out another book?
Oh, no. Book. Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. My book, that's the thing I'm most proud of, but I got to slog through this one funny 115 before I can even start the second book. Mm-hmm. But I think the second book is going to be fantastic. And I would advise anybody who wants to read a good survivor book featuring a little different take. It's not just the history of survivors, like here's who won, here's the blind sides. I really try to get into the history of the show, how people felt, what the impact was, what the culture was. And I really try to get you into what it was like in 2000 and 2001 watching Survivor. So if you want to read a good history book, that's the feedback I keep getting, is that people really appreciate the time zone or the time machine aspect of it. So to answer your question, no, I'm nowhere near close to the second book, but it will be fantastic.
And so the second book, will that be, because the first book was about seasons 1 through 3. Is it going to be more stuff about those seasons, or are you going to be going further out into the future?
Oh, no, we're starting with Marquesas, and I would like to go up to Pearl Islands or All Stars with the second book. And this is a very pivotal point in the show's history. So this is, I think, of any Survivor books I read, this will be the bigger one.
Well, keep us posted on what's going on with that. And Mario, always a pleasure to get into all this, and looking forward very much to the rest of the Funny 115.
Thank you. Can I plug one thing before I leave?
Of course.
All right. On the Funny 115, I don't really have a Patreon page. I don't really make any money off this. I'm not like Rob. I'm not, you know, living in a luxury condo at this point on all the profits.
That's right.
Yeah. But I do always need help in paying for web hosting costs. As Rob has pointed out, there's hundreds of pictures on these entries. They're huge. I also host the Historians podcast on the Funny 115 server. So like, I use so much data, and I'm always getting yelled at by my web hosting provider to upgrade. They make me upgrade to these super premium things. So any help I can get to pay web hosting costs would be appreciated. And the way I do that is I have a page called the Friends of the Funny 115, where it's like, if you've ever been to a zoo where you can buy like a tile and just sponsor the zoo, that's kind of what I have. It's all these tiles on this wall, or you can post anything you want, any joke, you can link to a page. So at the top on the Funny 115 page, I do have a link to the Friends of the Funny 115. If you'd like to buy a tile, they're $15. You can put anything you want on there. You can change it anytime you want, but that's the kind of stuff that adds up and helps me pay for these web hosting costs. So I would really appreciate it if you've liked my work at any point, if you could either buy my book and support me, or buy a tile on the Friends of the Funny 115.
Right. And if anything ever happens to me, this is where I'd like to be commemorated.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. I went in memoriam. This is, yeah. This is going to be my, a living, what do you call that?
Yeah, living tribute.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. And some of the tiles on the page are really funny. So if you like seeing,
they're all really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I have some bizarre readers, so it's funny to see what people come up with on there. And you can put anything you want, as long as it's not super sexual or anything. I don't care what you write.
Yeah.
No porn.
No porn. Has anybody put up a tile to criticize you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Feel free to. I love when people criticize me. People criticize me on Sucks, Survivor Sucks, all the time. On Reddit, sometimes they will when I'm not around. So it's fun. But I, you know, it's one of those things that's better to be talked about than not talked about. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy a tile and criticize me, feel free. I don't care. A lot of Russell fans have done it, and I'm sure I'll get more.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I have a good sense of humor about myself. I don't take myself very seriously. I'm just some guy writing stuff on the internet to make people's lives a little better and get them through their commute. So
okay.
If you think I'm a jerk, go ahead and tell me. I don't care.
So that's at funny115.com and click the friends of funny115 link.
Yes, absolutely. And I would be very appreciative, and maybe it will help put my daughter through college.
Okay. All right. I mean, if she goes to like a state school or something like that.
Exactly. We're going
to. Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing private.
Okay. Mario, great job, and always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much. And I hope people are looking forward to the next Funny 115 entry, which will feature fan favorite John Rocker.
Oh, yeah, finally.
Yeah, I have a nice run of entries here where I go, let's see, we had Philip, we have Nayanka, and now we're going to go John Rocker.
Real murderer's row.
Exactly. I want to make you love me.
All right. Great job, Mario. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Mario Lanza back here on the podcast. Talk about Funny 115 Volume 3. We've got a lot more coming up this week as we get back into Millennials versus Gen X. Week number 9 as Sophie Clark joins me filling in for Steven on the Know-It-Alls this Wednesday night. Plus, then we were going to have our recap podcast. The young lad, Spencer Bledsoe, will be joining me to recap the episode. We'll get into your voicemails with RHAP historian Megan Z. So very excited for another fun week, plus all of the OTT coverage on Tuesday and Friday from me and from the live feed correspondents as well. And Jordan, all on RobsWebsite.com. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.